Hey, Prime members, you can listen to The Vanished ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today.
I just want my baby back. It's my worst nightmare. I always tell my kids, don't ever, ever make me out to be that parent on the news that's screaming for their child. And here I am. This last year has just been just a toll emotionally, mentally, physically, and I don't even know who I am anymore. You know, I'm somebody, but I don't know who I am. It's weird. You know, you can only imagine the scenarios that go through my head, day in, day out. And I barely sleep at all these days. We even pay for her cell phone now, just in case something pops up with it, you know, someone tries to use it, or she has it and turns it on, or, you know, a ping.
In July of 2019, 23-year-old Kiara Henry had been visiting the Hawaiian Islands, enjoying a leisure trip by herself. An avid traveler and accomplished athlete, Kiara had joined several tour groups for hikes and sightseeing on her trip. But on July 21st, 2019, Kiara rented a car from the Kahului Airport and was last seen on surveillance footage in the rental car. Less than a week later, an employee of the rental car company contacted Kiara's sister to let her know that the vehicle had been found abandoned in a state park. No one has seen Kiara Henry since. This is a story with many questions, unconfirmed sightings, and offers to help from odd sources. But none have led to finding Kiara. I'm Marissa, and from Wondery, this is episode 253 of The Vanished, Kiara Henry's story. Audible offers thousands of popular favorites, exclusive new series, guided wellness programs, comedy, and exciting new voices and audio. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog. The Audible app makes it easy to listen anytime, anywhere, while traveling, working out, walking, doing chores, you decide. I like to listen a little bit each evening while I'm cooking dinner. And it's great for my evening walks, too. Recently, I've been listening to Lay Them to Rest by Laura Norton. It's a fantastic audiobook. You don't want to miss it. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/MIA or text MIA to 500-500. That's audible.com/MIA or text MIA to 500-500. At 23, Kiara was a young adult enjoying the freedom she had before settling into college or a career. She was exploring the world, learning about herself, and making decisions about what she wanted to do with her life. She had played sports in high school and remained athletic, enjoying outdoor activities more than spending time on electronic devices. We spoke to Kiara's mom, Monica, for this story, and she told us what their family dynamic had been like when her kids were growing up.
You know, when she was born, she was kind of premature, so she was in like an incubator, so I may have spoiled her just a little bit more than I probably should have. You know, I was really close to her. She's actually kind of in the middle because, you know, we have four. Her and her sister are in the middle. Then, you know, my son is the youngest. And like I said, we spoiled them way too much. You know, we tripped to Disneyland. We spent a lot of time with them and just we actually retired early just so we could raise them without having to work or anything like that to completely focus on them 100%. We were in San Diego, so we moved them to Nevada, a smaller town in Nevada, it's where it was more family oriented and stuff like that. So we took them up there, raised them. They all finished high school, and then we came back home to San Diego. My oldest, Thea, I always say she's my soulmate. She was like my best friend. We've been through everything together. Malia, she marches to the beat of her own drummer, but, you know, she's an amazing kid too. She's headstrong and just, you know, she's not going to let anybody push her around. My son, what could I say about him? You know, the youngest, the prince, the love of my life. Him and Kiara are both Pisces, so the personalities are almost identical. Headstrong, stubborn, just all of that, but all four of them amazing.
Kiara was the second daughter of three girls and one boy born to her parents. She quickly grew into a vivacious and unique spirit whose personality and talents shined.
She was amazing at basketball, truly amazing. She was good at almost everything. She ended up, after basketball, she ended up doing track. She was actually number one in Nevada at one point. She was so athletic. So yeah, she basketball, track, I mean, she was an amazing athlete. She was still in good shape, you know, she was like a runner, so she ran and she hiked and, you know, she did that rock climbing. So she stayed, you know, she was in peak physical shape, that's for certain. You know, kids, not knowing what they wanted to do yet, she was very free-spirited, I would say like a hippie-type nature, which we all kind of have, but yeah, she's very, you know, free-spirit, so, you know, she was undecided and trying to figure out who she was. She took some art classes after school. She actually went to college for a bit, online classes and stuff like that, but that's not what her passion was. She was so outdoorsy. She loved nature. She would get up and go whenever she felt like moving around. So, you know, she'd be LA or Arizona or Las Vegas or Reno. You know, she drove around a lot, you know, just seeing the world.
Kiara comes from a large family with close relationships between extended relatives. The family is part of the indigenous Kumeyaay Nation, a tribe of people whose history dates back thousands of years on the North American continent. Today, many members of the Kumeyaay live in Southern California, where Kiara's family resides. When we were researching this story, we talked to different family members to learn more about Kiara from multiple perspectives. We spoke with her cousin Soraya, who told us about her close relationship with Kiara.
So we're only 3 months apart. So her birthday is in March and mine is in June. We have a pretty large family. Like, we have a lot of cousins, aunts, uncles, etc. But we are pretty much the only two that are like right on at the same age. The rest of my cousins are kind of a couple years older or a couple years younger. So being close in age made us like close as people. She's always been a very laid back person. She's, I would say, probably quieter than the rest of her, or than her siblings or my cousins in a way, but not necessarily in a way that's bad. Like, sometimes she just kind of takes on like an observer role in conversations, but she still is very like vibrant, very funny. She's very like peaceful to be around. I don't know. I just always felt very at ease with her. I would say, I guess, like around us, pretty extroverted, but I think maybe in typical day-to-day, like maybe interacting with strangers, it's hard to remember because we haven't gone to school together since elementary school because they had moved to Nevada, but I would say maybe a little more introverted in social situations, but with us, pretty extroverted. Her older sister, Thea, and then she has her younger sister, Malia, and her younger brother, Kevin. We all grew up together. Like, as far back as my memories go, I remember us all being together because her mom, Monica, and my mom are cousins and they're very, very close. And so we were always over there. And I just remember spending summers there. And so she's always been interested in sports and athletics. And when we would hang out together, like sometimes we would all go out and play basketball. We would all like swim together. But the biggest thing that we liked to do together was play games, typically Uno or like some kind of board game, some video game, Life, whatever we found in the board game closets. Cards. We always love playing cards.
We also talked to Kiara's older sister, Thea, and she echoed her mom and how Kiara stood out from the crowd.
Kiara, she loves outdoors. You know, she's a very outdoorsy person. She loves earth, hiking. Basketball was one of her favorites. She played basketball actually all through school. She was on basketball teams and traveling teams and played basketball all through high school. She did track. She likes to volunteer. She did a lot of volunteer work when she moved out to San Diego. She's a very friendly person. And, you know, she always believed everybody in this world, you know, was good, regardless of, you know, their past and stuff like that. Her main interest, I wish she was in school, was sports. After high school, she did like online classes and stuff, but that's when she moved to San Diego. That's when she became more into drawing, sketching, and more outdoor stuff like hiking and stuff like that, and doing volunteer work. I guess we never really discussed her goals and stuff in life. You know, she just wanted to do her schooling, you know, online schooling, just to have her education, and mainly just be outdoors and drawing.
Between taking college courses and volunteering, Kiara loved to travel and enjoyed taking spontaneous trips. While we were speaking with Thea, she told us what Kiara was doing in life when she decided to visit Hawaii.
She wasn't working. She was taking a vacation. Per her records, you know, like bank statements and stuff, she actually went other places before that, like Palm Springs and stuff, like Salt Lake City, stuff like that before. So she was, I guess, you know, she was doing her own thing going on prior to Hawaii. Weeks and months before she, you know, her disappearance, my parents were actually moving from Elko to San Diego. So she was just hanging around there. She helped my parents move and stuff, as I did as well. And she just hung around the house, you know, because she has a room at my parents' house in San Diego. And so she was staying there. So she would just go and do her own thing, go do her outdoor thing, or mainly she would sit outside, just draw and stuff like that. So she wasn't doing anything too much before her disappearance. She always wanted to go to Hawaii, but one thing about Kiara is she's spontaneous. She'll just up and go. She was just up and go. So she's always wanted to go. And I guess that was the time she wanted to go. She didn't really tell us, which is crazy. That's one thing she always talked about going to previously before that. It was me, my younger sister, and my wife and her boyfriend. We went. And Kiara wasn't able to make it. And so her and my brother planned it on going together. But she just took off, you know, without even telling anyone and without even telling my brother. So, which we found weird.
Kiara preferred reading, drawing, and sketching to watching television or being sedentary. So it didn't come as a surprise when Kiara sat down with her parents to discuss her desire to visit Hawaii. Kiara's mom, Monica, told us about Kiara's plans.
She actually discussed it with my husband and I, and we were in there. She threw the idea by us for a minute. She's like, you know, I'll go to, you know, Hawaii, stay there for about a month or so. And we said, okay, well, if you go there, maybe you should stay like 2 weeks or something, you know, just to make sure you like it. And then, you know, if you do, you know, stay a little longer, get comfortable. If not, then, you know, you have the option to come home. So the Hawaii trip was discussed. It wasn't like, we just didn't know she was going at that time, but it was discussed. She was renting an apartment and her lease was up in August. So I think this was like June or I think it was about June or July we discussed it. So she was just going to go to Hawaii until her lease expired. And then she'd come back, she'd move out of her apartment and then get a new spot. So that's where her mind was at the time.
On July 11th, 2019, Kiara flew into Oahu, Hawaii and checked into a resort. We don't know what Kiara did while she was on Oahu, and only one person has come forward to talk with her family and police about the brief interaction she had with Kiara there. After almost a week on Oahu, Kiara flew to Maui. Thea explained to us what her family knows about Kiara's trip.
So what we know from everything, so she arrived in Oahu and she stayed at a little resort called Turtle Bay Resort from between July 11th to the 17th, we don't know of any of activities that she had done besides arrive to Maui. And then she stayed at a little place called Aston Maui Banyan, and she stayed there till the 18th. From the 18th, so she checked into a different hotel. It was called Aston Maui Hills. And then from there, the next day, she went on a tour with Hana Tours to the Wainapanapa State Park.
While in Maui, Kiara joined a couple of group tours and hikes, and she was seen by multiple people also on the tours who were able to identify her and remember interacting with her. The first tour that we know Kiara took was a trip to Wainapanapa State Park. A point of interest in Hana, a sparsely populated and mostly isolated region on the far east end of the island of Maui. The park is filled with some of Hawaii's most beautiful scenery and is located right on the Pacific Ocean. This becomes important later in the story. We also spoke to Kiara's dad, Kevin, and he described the park for us.
It's surrounded by a lot of forests, a lot of trees, a lot of bushes surround the park. Once you get into the park, jungle, and then, you know, the park's in the middle. There's this different areas of the park. There's a lot of trails. I think there's some trails that lead into the woody area, and there's some trails that kind of lead towards the ocean. The rocks at the ocean, a steep drop off at a certain point.
When we spoke to Thea, she told us about the last time she talked to Kiara and how she only received vague answers about what Kiara was doing and where she was.
I talked to her. I was the last one to speak to her. And that was around like the 12th or 13th. I asked her, you know, where she was at, and she said she was in Hawaii. So, you know, I proceeded to ask her questions, you know, like, where are you staying? Stuff like that. And, you know, she never answered. But I spoke to her on the 13th. After that, never heard from her again. She read my messages and never replied back. The last text I got when I was speaking to Kiara, she read my text. I was like, okay, you know, maybe she's doing something or something. So I just let it go on in a couple days. And then I sent another text, and it went green. You know, because like on iPhones, you have that blue, you know, iMessage thing from iPhone to iPhone. And then if like, say the phone's off or something like that, it goes green. So actually before that, I started worrying because I hadn't heard from her. And I was like, Mom, you know, I haven't spoken to Kiara. Have you spoken to Kiara? Mom's like, no.
Alarmed by Thea's attempts to contact Kiara without success, Kiara's mom, Monica, also wondered why she wasn't answering calls or messages.
Thea had texted her and found out she was around there. So then I actually texted her too, and she was fine at the time. So we were texting for a minute, and then it was all good. And then Thea was texting her and trying to call her phone, and she wouldn't answer. She wouldn't text back, nothing. So we started getting concerned. And then we actually gave her a little bit of space because sometimes she can get like that. You know, she's like a bad texter, a bad caller back. So we kind of maybe thought maybe she lost it or fell into the ocean, or, I mean, anything could have happened to it. But at that point, you know, the worryness definitely kicked in like big time. But then, you know, we just thought about it or whatever, and we know how she can be. You know, she can get like that every once in a while. But then as it went, you know, a little further, you know, we kept calling. That's when we called the Coast Guard, get a ping or anything of that nature. And, you know, anything could have happened to her phone, because she's like that. She's gone through phones so quickly. I mean, she has one week, the next week she's a new one, you know, so she was always doing stuff like that.
At first, Kiara's parents didn't think too much of the lack of communication from Kiara. Her dad, Kevin, thought that maybe she was upset about something or didn't want to talk to anyone.
Because it was just going straight to voicemail. During those times, it was going straight to voicemail. So it might have been off, or I'm assuming it was off. I mean, just what they call it is ghosting, you know, I mean, maybe, you know, she could have just been doing that. She could have just been upset at the time.
Kiara's trip to Hawaii alone had seemed a bit strange to her family, since she didn't go with her brother as she had originally planned. But it wasn't unusual for Kiara to travel alone or take a spontaneous trip. As the days passed after Thea's last contact with her sister, she became more and more worried that something terrible had happened.
I was freaking out until, I can't tell you which day it was because I don't fully remember. My mom's mail came in, and my mom's like, hey, is this for you? And because I went to Hawaii prior to all this, I want to say a few months before this. I think it was in May we went. I was like, no, uh-uh. And so I read it, and so I called the number on it, and I was like, is there any chance Kiara Henry stayed here? And they confirmed she did. So I was like, okay, Mom, you know, she's in Hawaii, she's fine. And then more and more days go by, and I'm like, Mom, you know, I still can't get a hold of Kiara. I called her phone, and it went straight to voicemail. Mom tried to text her. My mom's text wouldn't go through. It went green. So, you know, we thought she was okay. We got this card. She's in Hawaii. Okay.
We all know there are things in life that you have to compromise on, but when it comes to your health, there's no compromise. So don't settle for that one doctor that isn't really addressing your needs. Instead, check out ZocDoc, the place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable. And you can even search by location, availability, and insurance. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. Once you find the doc you want, you can book them immediately. You can filter specifically for ones who take your insurance, are located near you, and treat basically any condition you're searching for. The typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between just 24 and 72 hours. That's it. I use this and you should too. Go to ZocDoc.com/vanished and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/vanished. ZocDoc.com/vanished. This message is sponsored by Greenlight. When you're a parent, you'll have your fair share of big talks with your kids. One of those big talks should involve money, and Greenlight can help with that. Greenlight is a debit card and money app for families. You can send your kids instant money transfers, get real-time notifications of spending, manage chores, and automate allowance. I've been using Greenlight with my older two kids for years. One thing that I love about it is that I can set up recurring or one-time chores, customized to my family's needs, and then my kids earn an allowance to reward them for a job well done. Not only does it motivate them to actually get the chores done, but it also teaches them a bit about financial literacy and independence. They're learning to earn, save, and spend wisely. So stop putting off the money talk and start putting your kids on the right path. Sign up for Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/vanished. That's greenlight.com/vanished to try Greenlight for free. One more time, that's greenlight.com/vanished. Even though she hadn't kept up with her family much during the trip, that wasn't out of character for Kiara either. She enjoyed taking the time to disconnect and explore the world, but looking back, some of the things that happened during her trip appear to be more than simply going off the grid for a few days. According to a timeline Kiara's father has put together from phone records and the police, Kiara's phone made its last ping on July 12th, the same day Thea spoke to her. We thought that this indicated that the phone was turned off soon after that ping. However, there were two outbound calls on July 13th to a toll-free number. Each call was very short, but no one knows why Kiara would have been calling this number, and neither we nor Kiara's family have been able to determine who the phone number belongs to. Kiara's dad Kevin told us what he knows from Kiara's phone records, and from her family's attempts to contact her during the week that her phone was off.
It was two outgoings. It was like a minute or so apart. They looked into the number. We've actually called the number. So I think when you call a number, it goes, I think it rings. I haven't called in a while, but we'd always try to call it. I thought it just went to a beep or for you to leave a message or something, or just get like the tone you get to leave a message or something like that. I always thought it was just one of those soliciting calls, but I'm not too positive.
Thea told us more about Kiara's phone activity in the week leading up to July 21st, when Kiara disappeared.
She read my messages and never replied back. So, we don't know if she broke her phone, misplaced it, or, we don't know what she did with it. Because when we first reported it, they pinged her phone was in Oahu, was the last ping, and that was on the 12th. The last ping was a Wi-Fi thing, which I don't quite understand because I had texted her a few times. And, with iPhones, like if you text someone and their phone's off or it goes green, if it's off, like blue, saying it has not been delivered. So if she would have turned her phone on, everybody's text messages would have went through, but mine never did. So I don't know how she turned her phone on and used Wi-Fi. So that's where I was confused. When I first called all this in, they told me because it was near Wainapanapa State Park, so the water, to call Coast Guard. I did, and the first thing they did was try to ping her phone. And then after that, they said that because we got to it so late, there was nothing they could done.
It seems odd that Kiara's phone was making outbound calls on July 13th, but that the last ping occurred the day before. From the 13th to the 21st, Kiara's phone appeared to be off with no activity on the device or her phone number. Then, on July 21st, the phone briefly made a wireless data transmission using the internet at the Aston Maui Hills Hotel at 11 a.m. After this, the phone seemed to be powered off or broken and has not received or transmitted data since. Did Kiara see her family's attempts to contact her when the wireless transmission was made from the phone at the hotel on the 21st? We don't know for sure if it was Kiara using the phone, but we do know that Kiara was alive and appeared to be well on that date. Kiara's dad was able to piece together a timeline of what she did on that day and shared that information with us. We learned that using the hotel's computer and internet, Kiara booked her trip back home to California for July 29th. She also tried to make a reservation at another resort for the remainder of her trip, but was denied by the host of the property, likely due to her age and the lack of history as a guest with the vacation rental company. We also know that Kiara reserved a rental car for one day and checked out of the hotel she was staying at. When we spoke with Kiara's sister Thea, she told us what she knows of Kiara's movements during the last day she was seen, July 21st, 2019.
How we knew she was coming, she was supposed to come back home, is we found another cell phone, but the service was turned off. But we were able to connect it through Wi-Fi, and she was still signed into her email and stuff. And when I was going through her emails, that's when it popped up that she was supposed to come home that day through Delta Airlines. The second cell phone, I think she either downgraded, because the second one we found was like a newer one, and I think she downgraded to like the small SE. And so it was just like another phone that we, I don't know where we found it, somewhere in her room at my mom's, because she had a room at my mom's, and we were going through all her stuff to see, you know, if there was anything else there we like to help us get into her bank accounts or anything like that, because it was taking a very long time to get her bank records. So we were trying to do it our own, and I ended up coming across this phone that was no longer active. July 21st, from what we know from cameras and stuff like that. So we watched the camera footage of her entering her, is where she rented the vehicle. She checks out of her hotel, and I guess she used the lobby computer to reserve the rental car. And that was supposed to be back on the 22nd. She checked it out on a Sunday, and it was supposed to be due back on Monday, that next day, which was Monday. It never came back. Like, she never returned it. So we see her walking, and she's by herself. We see the clothes she has on. She has her bags, and so she rents the vehicle, which was a Nissan Sentra. It was a black Nissan Sentra. And then there was another footage of her leaving this facility in the vehicle. And then after that, that was the last of footage ever. That was the last footage, was Hertz. So, and according to like the speedometer and stuff like that, so she drove exactly from Hertz to the Wainapanapa Park. Like, there was no, she didn't go one way and then went back on the road. So, it, you know, speedometer was aiming straight from Hertz to the park.
One lingering question has been if Kiara could have met someone during her trip. When she went to pick up her rental car, she took a cab from the resort she was staying at to the airport. The videos from there show Kiara alone. Kiara did interact with others on tours she took in the days leading up to her disappearance. It was mentioned earlier that she toured the Wainapanapa State Park on the 19th with Hana Tours. On the 20th, she went on another trek with Maui Hike to Twin Falls. Some of the people on the tour of Wainapanapa State Park with Kiara later told her family how much she enjoyed the visit, so it wasn't too surprising that she would go back there again. However, the sparse trail of Kiara's activity ends there, and after being seen on surveillance leaving the rental agency at the airport, she has never been seen again. It wouldn't be until nearly a week later, when a rental agency employee found Kiara's sister on Facebook, that the family knew that something had happened to Kiara. Thea explained to us how they found out that Kiara was missing nearly a week after she was last seen.
Well, my wife posted pictures of us in Hawaii, so a lady by the name of Jennifer, she was a Hertz employee, actually got fired because of all this. It was on the 26th. My wife comes in and is like, hey, you know, this lady wants me to call her. So I was like, okay, I'll just do it. I called the lady and she's like, hi, my name is Jennifer. She wanted to inform me that Kiara rented a vehicle. She never returned it and that the company towed it back to them. And when they towed it back to them, Kiara's driver's license, her credit card, a bag of clothes, the bag she was carrying with her clothes, was all in there except for her phone and a black backpack that she was wearing. So the one thing we're not able to locate right now is her phone and a black backpack that she was wearing. The stuff that usually is in her backpack was in her luggage, like, or maybe a reading book could have been in there because she likes to read. Maybe her passport, because all we found was her ID. So she had a passport, and we have yet to find that either. Even when my dad went to clear out her apartment and storage, we have not been able to find that. And from the footage that we got of her and Hertz, those clothes that she was wearing prior were on the floor of the vehicle. As soon as I got off the phone with her, I went and told my parents and reported her, and then just called them and reported her missing.
Between the last time that Kiara was seen and the day that her family was contacted by an employee at their car rental agency, not much is known about what could have taken place or when the car entered the park, as there are no cameras. We do know that a park ranger at the state park observed Kiara's rental car on July 23rd, but didn't take further action. We thought it was strange that the vehicle was observed but not checked on, and Thea expressed the same confusion about why the park rangers let the car sit for so long.
It was not that close to the water. It was more close to the jungle area. You have to walk a little distance to the water. It was parked. You're looking at the ranger station, and to the right, there's like this parking spot. And it was in a parking lot. And I guess when you come in, if you're staying, you have to have a plaque. Like, you have to pay for overnight. So I'm guessing, you know, they were thinking like, oh, maybe, you know, I don't know how their logic is there, but I guess he was thinking like, oh, maybe she's coming back, and you know, we see this a lot, so I don't know. But if you ask me, if you know they're supposed to be there overnight and they're supposed to pay for it, and you see that car there not only that day but the next day, why are you reporting it like three days later almost?
We also spoke to Kiara's cousin Leslie, who expressed her frustration that no one who worked at the park called the rental car in as abandoned sooner.
From my understanding, I don't live in Hawaii, but from my understanding, that park where she was last seen or assumed that she drove to spend the night, you have to have a permit. So anyone who had a permit could be called in question because their information would have been on file. So it seemed like, just to be thorough, you could have called in question, you know, did you see her? Did she spend the night with someone? Did she find some campers and hang out? Like, none of those people who spent the night were questioned. If that was the last place where her car was, it seems like that would be the first thing to do, because she got there right at sunset when it was closing. So she would have had to been there in the nighttime hours where all the permitted people were. I never understood why that was not followed up.
The rental agency noted that the car was towed back to them with only 43 miles put on it after Kiara rented it, which is almost exactly the distance between the airport and the state park. Kiara was last seen leaving the airport at approximately 2 p.m. on the 21st. And though the trip is only around 45 miles, traffic maps indicate that it's a two-hour or longer drive. Kiara's dad, Kevin, explained to us why it takes so long to get there and why he believes his daughter drove the car to the park immediately after renting it.
Just because of the speed limit, the road is pretty windy. And, you know, there's a lot of areas where, you know, you're driving like between 10 and 15 miles an hour. It takes, a really long time to drive, you know, so few miles. There's no cameras at the park, so there was no way to verify what time she did arrive. The gates for the park actually close, I think it's at sundown, which I think it closes at 6. So she'd have to have got there before that time.
At the beginning, local police seemed to believe that Kiara had chosen not to be in contact with her family. But they soon began searching for her in and around the park where her rental car had been abandoned. This is what Thea shared with us about that.
They wrote up, you know, started writing up the file and stuff. And from there, actually, I don't know what all they did, because at first it was very difficult, because I don't know if they thought we were kidding, because it was hard to talk to them at first. With someone missing, you know, and like you want answers like right away, like them to start doing it right away. So it was kind of a slow process at first. It would have been nice if they gave us a lot of more information, but a lot of the time they kept just saying that it was hard, that they wouldn't release information like that to them and stuff like that. So MJ from Maui Search and Rescue wanted a piece of her clothing. So, and Chris too, so they could have their dog sniff it, but they wouldn't even hand it to us. MPD wouldn't even let us release it to them. So they just held on to it. They didn't even use it for anything. So that's another thing that could have helped us with this search. When we first got it, like, hey, if they would have gave them the clothes, had the dog sniff it, maybe we would have had a better chance of finding something of hers, or even her, if that's the case. But no, they wanted to hold it. For what reason? I don't know, because they're not doing anything with it, even if they even still have it, you know? Her belongings. They still have her clothes, whatever was in her bag, her luggage bag, her ID, and her credit card. So they wasted a good amount of time. I mean, that we could have used that. So now by now, the smell could just be automatically gone from everything, you know? So Maui PD, they were really, this whole year has been from when she went missing, you know, her anniversary was 21st of July. It's just been a rough road. It's like she disappeared in thin air. There's no proof of nothing. Like, it's not like, you know, there was blood found.
Kiara's dad, Kevin, told us why he believes the police didn't seem to take his daughter's disappearance seriously.
At first, they were kind of thinking that there was no way that she was in danger. They were thinking that, you know, she could have just been out there, maybe just wanted to live off the grid, stuff like that. So initially, I don't think they were blowing it off as that. They just kind of thought she was just out there and she might, you know, she was alive. So maybe there might not have been a sense of urgency. Time went on and it seemed like, I mean, well, at least to us, it was more apparent that maybe that wasn't the case. And, you know, we'd voiced that to the police and, you know, they kind of started to think, well, maybe you might be right. So first just, you know, blew it off that she may have been in the ocean or anything like that. Now, maybe later on, it seems like it could be more of a possibility. In the beginning, they were pretty helpful. They botched a few things in the beginning, but they were helpful following leads and, you know, doing the searches and stuff like that. But we recently, you know, did the case, you know, would go cold. And I think that's just where we're at right now. I don't know if they're actively working on it, but they haven't closed it.
Kiara's family was frustrated with the police investigation almost from the start. But when a tip came in about Kiara being spotted at a convenience store on July 22nd, the family hoped that the police would get surveillance footage that would indicate that Kiara was okay after she was last seen picking up her rental car. Here's Thea again.
There was this one incident. So they said that she stopped at like a little convenience store in Hana. Well, they said they saw her at a convenience store. Well, there was footage, and I guess the cops kept going over there and asking for the footage, but the people didn't want to hand it over or something like that. And I'm like, in a missing person's case, as a cop, you should have been able to get a hold of that footage. So we lost that footage. And because when we were in Hawaii, my dad went to the store and tried to get the footage or at least see it. And they said, sorry, it already looped over. So like the cops didn't even like press, like I said, almost like they didn't even care to get it. Or that's a big missing piece that we wanted, because that would have proved that she stopped there. So that's a big piece of like thing we lost as well. Yeah, my dad was pretty upset because the only footage we have is the Hertz and the hotel. And, you know, that right there, because she was in Hana, so that would have showed us, hey, she stopped here, but yet they let it loop over. They didn't even try to grab it.
Not having access to potentially important surveillance video was already discouraging. But the family was baffled again when they discovered that the rental company towed the car Kiara had rented back and cleaned it out to rent it again without a forensic examination. after the police declined to come and pick it up. Here's Thea.
This is the thing that gets me the most mad about this whole situation. We have multiple women, two main ladies that have been helping us. How she came to help us is her daughter, by the name of Charlie, because the lady's name is Kim Scott. Her daughter was sadly, you know, murdered. So she started advocating for victims and their families and stuff like that. And another lady by the name Sarah, which helped us with PR stuff, getting to the press and stuff. She would constantly be on top of us, like, you need to get that car back. You need to get that car back. So there was multiple times we would ask, and even the chief, police chief, was like, no, there's no need for the car to be searched and stuff like that due to not being enough evidence. So what makes me mad is you're telling me that they're pretty much saying that there either has to be a body in the car or a pool of blood in the car to be able to be searched, to be considered to be searched. So like, say if someone was with her in that car or even touched it or touched her stuff, there's no way of us finding out because it's been gone and cleaned over and over again for a whole year. And yeah, so it's just been so frustrating with that car because, you know, also Maui PD still has her belongings from that car.
We viewed the photos of Kiara's car after it was towed back to the rental company, and the contents are puzzling. Kiara's socks and shoes were on the floorboards of the car's front seats. Her ID and credit cards were inside the center console. A bag containing her clothes was in the back seat, and some assorted clothing items were on the floor of the back seat of the car. It certainly appears that this would have been worth a forensic examination. Kiara's cousin Leslie also expressed her disbelief that the police didn't search the car for any evidence, and thinks that the gap between the time Kiara was last seen and the day Thea got the message from the car rental employee meant that crucial time had been lost.
That is one answer that I cannot tell you, because the only thing I can assume is that procedural from the rental car company or procedural from the police department, or just a lack of communication and timing of what actually happened. Maybe that information was just kind of lost in communication, and the rental company, you know, has a business to run, so they're going to take the car back, clean it, and rent. I don't believe they did it. The rental company themselves made any effort to try to contact the family. From what I understand, the rental company employee was concerned, and she contacted the family through Facebook on her own merit and not through the rental company, because she thought that something was very strange about the circumstances. And that's how the family found out. Otherwise, who knows how long it would have been before they were able to find out she was missing. I don't want to say a frenzy, but that's when we realized how serious it was, because we all started with information that was already late. And there's so much information that during those days, if we would have known, but we didn't. I managed the hotline for the family. You know, I forward them to the police, especially if they have specifics about leads and things like that. They've always seemed to be pretty responsive to stuff that I send them, because they're hot leads. But as far as, you know, in the beginning, what I think that information would have been like the most pertinent, I think there was just a lot of gaps.
Kiara's mom, Monica, feels like the investigation has stalled because there's so little information to go on.
Her case is so hard because there's nothing. There's like no evidence, no nothing, no, it's just nothing. So, I mean, they have like nowhere to go. All we can do is, you know, rely on tips that we get or things of that nature. But other than that, it's just, there is nothing out there, nothing. So it was so botched. The way the car was found, I do believe it was locked. Her shoes, she had another bag inside the car and other clothes and stuff in there. Her ID and debit card were in the middle console. There was no window breaks, no forced entry or anything like that. The key wasn't in the car. Her phone wasn't in the car. All that stuff was like, it was with her.
With so many puzzling facets to Kiara's story, we hope that the Maui Police Department would be able to shed some light on some of the questions her family would like answers to, plus some questions we had of our own. However, over 2 months and many emails and voice messages, we never had the opportunity to talk with anyone at the police department, and our requests went ignored. We also filed an open records request and received a 2-page document with a 1-paragraph narrative. The narrative had basic details that were clearly wrong, including the date that Kiara flew to Maui and the hotel that she was staying at when she arrived. This leads us to question if the local police have tried to search for Kiara at all. Kiara's cousin Soraya told us that she feels like there has to be a missing piece of the puzzle out there, but it doesn't feel like anyone is looking for it.
It's known that she really liked the park that she visited on the tour and that she went back, and I would probably have to agree with that general idea that she probably tried to go back and maybe she tried to hike it on her own, and I don't know from there, but I do think that that's the most likely possibility, is that she went back to try to hike it alone. I don't know. I kind of feel like there has to be more information somewhere, whether that's someone who saw her and hasn't said anything, or someone who knows what happened but hasn't said anything. It's just so hard for me to believe that someone could disappear so completely. I mean, I know that it happens, and it's just strange to have it happen so close to you. You just never think that something like that would. But yeah, I think it's important to continue talking about it. I don't really feel like her case necessarily got the publicity that it deserved at the time. And I feel like that kind of was a contributing factor. Just little things like that. It seems like every step of the way there's been something, you know, preventing us from getting further information. It's just very frustrating.
The Vanished is sponsored by BetterHelp. With social gatherings picking up after the winter, it can be easy to ignore your social battery and spread yourself thin. It's a good time to think about the right amount of socializing for you. Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you prefer more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. A therapist can help you learn how to set boundaries so you feel empowered to be the best version of yourself. Everyone can benefit from therapy. It's not just for those who've experienced major trauma. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, so it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/vanished today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/vanished.
You aren't sleeping and you're stressed out. That's how it was for me, so I cleared out my cabinet and reset my health with CBD from CB Distillery. Their deep sleep gummies are amazing. CB Distillery's targeted formulations are made from the highest quality clean ingredients. No fluff, no fillers, just pure, effective CBD solutions designed to help support your health. In two non-clinical surveys, 81% of customers experienced more calm, 80% said CBD helped with pain after physical activity, and an impressive 90% said they slept better with CBD. If you struggle with a health concern and haven't found relief, make the change to CB Distillery. And with over 2 million customers and a solid 100% money-back guarantee, CB Distillery is a source to trust. I have a 20% discount to get you started. Visit cbdistillery.com and use code VANISHED for 20% off. That's cbdistillery.com, code VANISHED. cbdistillery.com. From the day after Kiara disappeared and for months afterward, tips about possible sightings came into Kiara's family and the Maui police, but none were ever confirmed to be her. Thea explained more.
According to the detective, they talked to a tour bus driver, and he said he saw her on the 23rd of July, but they never re-interviewed him, so we don't know if it's, you know, 100%, or because out of all the tips we've got, there was this one girl, and when I tell you she looked nothing like my sister, I don't know how people kept mistaking her, but there's a girl that was in Hana, and she went by the name of Faith, and this girl just was walking around and stuff, and people just kept reporting her like, oh, I seen Kiara, and then we finally got the picture, and we're like, no, that's not Kiara. Those are two different people, so it could have been possible, that the tour bus driver saw face, but you know, we never know. There were, you know, there's no cameras out in that park area. So if the tour bus driver is really believed to see her on the 23rd, and then after that, because, you know, I'm still looking at the timeline, and, you know, we have multiple possible sightings, and these people are saying, first they were saying, yeah, it's her, but then it was, and then they would say, it's the face girl. So they would say, yeah, it's Kiara, and then they would turn around and say, oh, no, it was face. So,
with little police communication or cooperation, Kiara's family has taken on finding answers themselves. They've hired private investigators and received many tips through the tip line that they run. While we were talking to Kiara's mom, Monica, she told us about some of the people that have contacted her and how she constantly wonders what happened to her daughter.
We've actually had like calls from psychics. You know, we actually had about 5 or 6 of them actually. You know, most of them say that she grabbed onto a branch and slid down and fell into the water, hit her head. You know, that for me would be better than what can creep into my head late at night when you're alone thinking and just. So I would like to think that she maybe had an accident, trip, and fell, because she's very curious, she loves water, nature. I mean, Hawaii would just be her jam. She loved to hike. She loved to mountain climb. So she could have easily just grabbed onto something, slid down, and, you know, smacked her head on something, you know. For me, I would like to think of that, or she's somewhere in the jungle with a group of Hare Krishnas, the ayahuasca group. We actually spent some time with them while we were down there.
Kiara's cousin Leslie also spends a lot of time thinking about what could have happened to Kiara, and if she met with foul play, or if there's some other explanation.
You know, there's lots of groups out there too. You know, she was very earthy. She could have found a group that she just really vibed with, and they don't do technology, and she just decided to be there, and that's where she is. She was planning to, you know, reunite with her brother to come out. She was planning the trip home to see them again and visit with her. So, you know, scenarios of her just changing her mind suddenly to go live in a farming commune in, you know, the jungles of Hawaii, just, it seems very far-fetched as well. I honestly think, I mean, just by judging from the video that I saw and her demeanor in it, it just looked like she was kind of like a, you know, how somebody would backpack through Europe. She was just kind of like a tourist having a good time. She had her backpack and her shorts and, you know, minimal stuff because it's hot there, and you have your, you know, your ID and your keys, and she's getting directions. She's signing up for tours. She's going places. So to me, it just seems like, you know, she spent a lot of time alone. She was a traveler. She's very inquisitive. So that time, that gap of time didn't surprise me of, you know, her travels through there. Nothing about it seemed out of the ordinary for her, except the fact that she stopped calling. I don't see her foreseeing any foul play or expecting that from anyone, which could have led to her being meeting someone that could have had those intentions, because she didn't meet people with the intention that this is a bad person. She always had a positive outlook, very optimistic. She kind of steer cleared from things that made her uncomfortable. If she felt uncomfortable somewhere, I think she would have just removed herself.
Kiara's older sister Thea also lets her mind fill with thoughts of the unknown, sometimes considering that Kiara may have met with foul play.
What my thought is, and I mean, how can you not think this? She's young, a petite, you know, little girl. Little, I mean, like small. I thought, you know, someone harmed her, kidnapped her and harmed her. Or, you know, your main thought with everything going on in the world is human trafficking. That was my thought. Like, someone took her, you know, now they're selling her, was my first initial thought. That's where my brain went. It never changed. Even though people try to convince me, like Thea, possible that she fell in the water. And I'm like, I don't believe that. A lot of people were like, you know, it's easy to fall in that water. She was close to the edge. And I'm like, I'm sorry, I still don't believe that. To make me not even believe that even more is when we were doing interviews with, you know, Maui PD. We sat down with Russell, detective, and they went along the coastline with jet skis, helicopters and stuff. And, you know, they didn't find anything. Even if she fell in there, the guy said, it's possible that they could have recovered a body, they would have came back, or any of her belongings would have came back up to shore. And that also, they kind of said that it was also impossible for her to fall in And so that's what made me even believe more that she didn't fall in the water due to that conversation.
So what happened to 23-year-old Kiara Henry? Did she decide to leave her life behind and go off the grid? Did she meet a group of people and decided she wanted to remain in Hawaii and disconnect from the rest of the world? Could she have met with foul play? Or is it possible that she made the trip back to the park that day with the intention of harming herself? If she wanted to end her life, why did she book her flight home? What we do know is that Kiara first arrived in Hawaii on July 11th, 2019. She spoke to her sister and then stopped returning calls and text messages, which is one of the many mysteries of this case. Why did she suddenly disconnect from those close to her? We know that she wasn't big on social media, and it doesn't seem out of the ordinary for her to want to disconnect and connect with nature. But was something more going on here? Her last phone ping was on July 12th. On the 13th, there were two brief outgoing calls from her phone to a toll-free number, and no one has been able to establish who she was trying to call. But we do know that she was still alive at this point. On July 17th, she flew to Maui and stayed at one resort before checking out the following day. Then she checked into Aston Mills, Maui. On the 19th, she went on a tour with Hana Tours of the state park where her rental car would later be found abandoned. The next day, July 20th, she went on a tour to Twin Falls with Maui Hike. On July 21st, Kiara used a computer at Aston Mills, Maui to reserve a rental car. She also tried to reserve a room at Sugar Beach Resort from July 22nd to July 29th, and she booked her flight home with Delta also for the 29th. There was a brief Wi-Fi transmission on her phone at 11:04 a.m., and that's the last activity on Kiara's phone. Kiara checked out of her hotel and took a cab to the airport where she picked up her rental car. It is believed that she drove straight from the rental car agency to the state park due to the amount of mileage on the vehicle. Kiara may have stopped along that route to the park, but it doesn't seem like she would have gone far off her route because of the mileage. She was possibly sighted that day at a place called Garden of Eden, which would have been along her trip to the park. 2 days later, a park ranger first noticed Kiara's rental car, and the car was towed back to Hertz on the 26th, which is when an employee contacted Kiara's family online, and they reported her missing. Before this, there were some possible sightings of Kiara. On the 22nd or 23rd, someone thought they saw her at a store in Hana, and the person they thought was Kiara paid with cash. They weren't able to view video footage from this location. There was another possible sighting on the 24th or the 25th at a food truck in Hana. Again, the person that the witness thought was Kiara paid with cash. Also on the 25th, there was another potential sighting of Kiara sitting under a tree reading a book in Hana. Four different people reported this sighting. Another sighting that day was at a bread stand, and the witness believed that she bought banana bread and asked for directions to the state park where Kiara's rental car was located. This person they believed to be Kiara paid with cash, and the worker remembered talking her into buying strawberry bread. Unfortunately, none of these sightings have ever been officially confirmed to be Kiara. They do make you wonder if she was alive in the days after the 21st, or if they could all be a case of mistaken identity. Search teams scoured the park along with surrounding areas. They checked trails, a dive team went into the caves, and a search of the coastline was done with a helicopter. These searches failed to uncover any clues. Looking into Kiara's financial records was also a dead end. She hadn't made any large cash withdrawals, and her accounts haven't been touched. One thing that I noticed while going through the timeline over and over again was that Kiara rented the car for 1 day from the 21st to be returned on the 22nd. She checked out of her hotel on the 21st and made a reservation for another resort for the 22nd to the 29th, with a flight home scheduled for that day. We know that her reservation for the next resort was later rejected, but it's likely that Kiara didn't know that when she left the hotel and headed to pick up her rental car. She was planning to check into another room on the 22nd, which means that she had no room booked for the night of the 21st. Where was she planning to spend that night? Was she planning to take her rental car to the park and possibly stay the night there? To camp, or maybe in her car? Or possibly some other unknown location? Then return the car as planned the following day and check into the next resort and stay the remainder of her trip? If so, what occurred that interrupted her plans and caused Kiara to disappear? Kiara was a budding young woman with her entire life ahead of her. What happened to her after she drove away in her rental car? We and Kiara's family are left with so many questions as to what happened on that trip. At the time of her disappearance, Kiara was 23 years old. She's 5'2" tall and weighs around 110 pounds. She has brown hair and brown eyes. If you have any information about the disappearance of Kiara Henry, you're asked to call the Maui County Police Department at 808-244-6400.
She just is one of the kindest people I've ever met. Just like quietly kind. I feel like some people are kind of boastful in their personality or their attitude, but she's just like a genuinely quietly kind person. I just couldn't understand like how a person just completely goes missing without a trace that way. I think when my mom told me, I figured it would be like resolved fairly quickly of like, I don't know, you know, maybe she just lost her phone or maybe she just wanted to take a couple days by herself. And I did not think it would go on longer than a couple of days, a week tops. I don't know if it is maybe she wanted a couple of days to herself, or like maybe she just felt really relaxed there and didn't want to be disturbed by, you know, other people, or she just wanted to be alone. But I'm really not sure. I don't know if maybe her phone just died and she didn't charge it, or I don't know what's worse, is the knowing or the not knowing. I'm always, when I talk to my mom about it, like I'm always, I don't know how as a family, like this is something that we're, how could you ever, I don't even want to say move on, because like we're never going to move on, but how do you go forward? But you just never think that something like that's going to happen so close to you. My dad has always been into like true crime stories, so I would watch those with him sometimes. And I think it's just so easy to kind of dissociate those stories from reality, and you just think, well, oh, that will never happen around me or to me or to someone I know. But I mean, it can.
That brings us to the end of episode 253. I'd like to thank everyone who spoke with us for this story. If you have a missing loved one that you'd like to have featured on the show, there's a case submission form at thevanishedpodcast.com. If you enjoy this show, subscribe now and leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening right now. Do you want to help support the show? There are a couple things that you can do. One way to help The Vanished is by supporting our sponsors. You can find links and promo codes in the episode notes. Another way to support the show is by contributing on Patreon, where you can get early and ad-free episodes. Join me next time. I'll be covering a case from Alabama. Thanks for listening.
Welcome to the small town of Chinook, where faith runs deep and secrets run deeper. In this new thriller, available exclusively on Wondery Plus, religion and crime collide when a gruesome murder rocks the isolated Montana community. Everyone is quick to point their fingers at a drug-addicted teenager, but local deputy Ruth Vogel isn't convinced. she suspects connections to a powerful religious group. Enter Federal Agent V.B. Loureau, who has been investigating a local church for possible criminal activity. The pair form an unlikely partnership to catch the killer, unearthing secrets that leave Ruth torn between her duty to the law, her religious convictions, and her very own family. But something more sinister than murder is afoot, and someone is watching Ruth. With an all-star cast led by Emmy nominee Sanaa Lathan and Star Wars Kelly Marie Tran, Chinook is available exclusively and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I understand that anybody who's paid attention to the media would have to come to the conclusion that I killed my wife.
Hi, my name is Zach Stewart Pontier. I'm one of the filmmakers behind The Jinx, and I'm excited to bring you the official Jinx podcast. We'll be revisiting all six episodes of Part 1 and watching along with Part 2 as it airs on Max, starting April 21st.
Bye-bye.
The official Jinx podcast. Listen on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.